Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pretty Boy Podcast here. I'm your host, Pretty Boy Chris, and this podcast is brought to you by the Rage Game Network Podcast and Rage Game Network Podcast Crew. Welcome back, Ragers, to the Pretty Boy Podcast. I am your host, Pretty Boy Chris. And, today was a little bit of an emotional day for me. I'll get into it in the news here in a second, but there's a lot of things that just happened today that is changing the world, the way that I see things and the way things are going to go forward for me in my career. We'll get into it in a second here when I'll talk about something. So before we actually start the actual topics that we're going to talk about today, there's two things I wanted to go over just to kind of give you a heads up of what's going on at Rage Game Network and myself over the course of the next couple weeks or so, especially now that we're getting into the holiday season. And some things that just wrapped up, some things we're going to go forward with at Rage Game Network, and then, yeah, of course, myself. So we didn't get to mention, I don't think, in any of the episodes yet. I know there's a Rage Game Network podcast coming up probably when this gets released where we will discuss some details about something that happened. So I'm not going to spoil anything, but I can tell you right now, Rage Game Network has ended their D&D campaign for Curse of Strahd that just happened. It lasted just over 2 years, the campaign, between myself, Connor, Sarah, Andy, and Ben DM for us. So I just want to tell Ben that you did a fantastic job being our DM for this campaign for Curse of Strahd. We'll explore more of that in Rage Game Network podcast. They'll explain a little bit more about that. I won't go into my feelings here. Maybe another episode we can talk about my feelings. But overall, I loved the campaign. There were a lot of challenges, a lot of things we did. The ending to me, we can discuss about that later. but you know what? It was a good campaign. We had a fun time overall. We got some of the reasons why things happened. Totally understood. But and then also an update, Rage Game Network has mentioned, or we've discussed at least off the air, we are going to be doing probably shortly a campaign. We're actually going to do the starter pack that came out about a year ago, Dragons of Stormwreck Isles. Sarah is going to be the DM for that campaign, and everyone's going to get back together. We're probably going to do, it sounds like, in two sessions, we're going to do that starter pack campaign for D&D. So potentially, and we haven't talked officially how this is going to happen, but we are looking to potentially have either an audio version or a video version of that playthrough for the starter pack. So what I'll tell you guys right now, go down in the show notes below, go to Rage Game Network's Facebook page, social media pages down there. And if you're interested in seeing a video podcast, let's say, or an audio, maybe here on the podcast streamings between Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and the others forms that we have here, please like the pages here, but also leave us a comment on social media about, do you want to see this? Do you not want to see this? You know, we do want to hear from you. That's kind of our plans that we're looking at. So please reach out. Let us know what you think. If you have any questions about the Curse of Strahd campaign, and you know, if you're interested in running your own, I would definitely reach out to Rage Game. We can kind of walk you through everything that happened and how we kind of got to the points that we did. So very excited to see the next evolution of this campaign continuing on here for the podcast. All right, well, so let's get to the second mentioned news. Like I said, there's some topics that we got to talk about today, but the second news, I think it's going to come out before my the Rage Game Network podcast, but your boy Pretty Boy Chris here is going to be officially moving to Florida. I'm going to be moving from Rochester, New York down to Jacksonville, Florida. I know we have some fans down in the Jacksonville area, so if you're listening, hopefully give me a warm welcome down there. And I'll be down there starting a new job down there think I talked last time on Pretty Boy Podcast a little bit of what it's all about. So I'm obviously not going to go in details, but what I will tell you is this, okay? I will be relocating, and I just want to thank every one of you Ragers out there, right? That have been supporting the RGN community, who've been supporting me as Pretty Boy Podcast. And there's so much that goes on making these podcasts for you, looking up the topics, playing these games, getting your feedback. It's very exciting time for me. And now it's time for me to do something that helps me professionally develop and grow. So just want to give you guys a shout out for doing all the wonderful things that you're doing by following us, liking us, subscribing, you know, hitting those like buttons, spreading the news of Rage Game Network and Pretty Boy Podcasts. So I just want to thank you guys for all the hard work that you've been doing these past couple years. So with that being said, what I wanted to get towards is this probably will be my last episode, potentially maybe one more, depending how I can get this move done and if I have time. Might be the last episode for me of 2023. So I do expect there's going to be a delay in me releasing content. So I do want to apologize to you now. It's going to happen. I'm looking at, maybe an episode in December, and that's if I can get everything squared away and dealt with. But that's kind of, it depends on the new job, what's going on. I have things I have to get done at the new job fairly quickly. I have to get certified in some things. That's part of my agreement to go down there. So again, so much going on. It's crazy. But what I will tell you is thank you guys. And please pardon, my delay in being in this content. You might hear it on Rage Game Network Podcast, but obviously I will not be a main, co-host for Rage Game Network Podcasts. So I'll be in and out of the show more as a guest host at times. We have discussed potentially using some type of a streaming platform or audio through Discord to record potentially the Rage Game Network podcast, so I could still be involved in some way, shape, or form. All right, so now that the news is out, now that it's time to continue on to our mini topics here for this podcast. So our first mini topic was an article that I found from Game Rant, and I have experience in security and firearms and all that, right? Those of you who've been listening to the podcast, you know, you've known this, I've talked about this, okay? Long story short, this is a situation where a gamer's life was threatened, right, for playing a game, and I'll give you a little bit my background and things that you need to be thinking about and talking about. Things you shouldn't do while you're doing certain games in certain places. Okay. So the article here that we have is a Pokemon Go player. And there's a Reddit tweet that someone posted. Yes, a Reddit user, the Big Strambolo, said that apparently they were threatened by a man with a firearm while they're playing Pokemon Go. Okay. So background from what I got from this was that they happened to be parked in a church parking lot. They were doing a raid, if I recall. And there was a man that parked near the player. He said, you know, the player said they didn't recognize who that individual was. He then warned them that he was armed and threatened to shoot if they didn't leave the property. They were scared and realized that, you know, this guy was not a security guard or a police officer. So they were like, you know what? I'm out. And, the tweet here from that player says right here, had a very scary encounter playing Pokemon Go today. So yeah, that's a scary situation. That really is. I'm not gonna lie. And this is not the only case, and this, I guess, happened not that long ago, in the last month or so, I want to say. These situations have happened when people have played Pokemon Go. Ever since the game started in 2016, it happens. It has happened. That's what I will say. It has happened. Okay? The player left. There was no issues once they left. No cops were called, nothing like that. But this isn't the only case. There have been other players who play Pokemon Go, right? Who go to a certain location, they play Pokemon Go, they've been threatened. I believe some have been harmed. I think there was an article that mentioned that. Any case here, what I'm going to tell you is this. When you play Pokemon Go, that's great, right? Be aware of your surroundings. Know where you are in the moment. You know, go to places that are public venues, right? Parks, places that are acceptable to play the game, okay? Don't put yourself at risk of getting hurt. This situation here, I think it was in a church parking lot. You know, one of the things I tell people is you got to be very careful about going on someone's personal property, right? Private property. You get into that type of situation where, I don't know, there's a sign that says no trespassing or private property, or they're, you know, don't come on the property, we shoot, something like that nature. You got to take that seriously, guys. You can't be just going wherever the hell you feel like, right? If it's a, and like I said, public place, everyone can gather, like a park, right? Something of that nature. That's fine. That's totally cool. But don't go onto someone's property that's posted private property, right? And do that. In this case, a church, you know, this guy, we don't know who this individual is. Maybe they were the owner of the church or the property, and they wanted them gone. Maybe it wasn't the most appropriate way. I don't know. I don't want to be subjective. I try to stay objective. I don't know the full details. This is just part of the article. But I will say this. Be very careful. Obviously, if you're in this situation, do not panic. Take a deep breath. Tell them you're going to leave and get out of there, right? And then even with the security and police officers, right, they're going to be obviously identified as such, okay? They're going to identify themselves as, hey, this is security, or this is, I'm a police officer. How can I help you today? They're going to try to get some information just to see what's going on, right? Because they need to understand, why are you on this person's property? And then they might give you the instruction of, hey, listen, you know, I understand they're having a good time, but this is private property. We can't have people just hanging out here, right? You're more than welcome to do that, you know, out in the street, but you can't do it on this property. That's all we ask, right? Case in point there, right? That's nice. But like in this case, it didn't sound like it was a good interaction. So we don't want to get to that point. So that's all I ask everyone for these Pokemon Go players is just be very careful. Please be very careful and just understand that you got to play in places that are open to the public that you can play. If it says posted private property, do not enter. Do not enter that area. Okay. I want to keep you guys safe. I don't want there to be any problems going forward. And just reading that, you know, made me kind of go, are you kidding me? Oh, you know, and this is comes from my experience, right? And I've worked in security, unarmed and armed myself over the past 12 years, we'll just say. And I don't want to cause more problems, right? I mean, I know you're having a good time, and I've had a couple cases, I want to say, in one of the places I've worked at where someone was playing Pokemon Go, but they started, in that case, they started looking suspiciously through cars, and that kind of flagged us. And yeah, I saw them playing Pokemon Go and everything, but we asked them to basically, you can continue playing, but you got to go off the property to play. Right, it was just kind of like, what are you doing here? Why are you being acting suspicious? Right, because if you are, you know, that gives us a reason to have to talk to you. And that's even for a police officer, right? If you act suspicious in an area, they're going to do this. They're going to ask you to leave. But yeah, this case with the scary man, safety is paramount. Be aware of your surroundings. Do not be glued to your phones all the time. Be aware of what's going on around you. You know, if you see something and you're like, I don't feel safe here, I don't feel like this is a good place to play Pokemon Go, don't play it there. Okay? That's my rant. So let's go into my mini topic two. That was supposed to be a lot shorter. Whoops. So mini topic number two I got from Game Informer. There was back in 2020. I don't know if you guys know this, but Amazon announced that they're creating a Fallout TV series. We haven't really heard much. A couple people who might be in the shows, nothing crazy. Okay. They have come out with a new report here and has said that they plan on Amazon Studios releasing the Fallout TV series on April 12th, 2024. And they came out with a little teaser. It was the Pip-Boy little message introducing it. That's really cool. I talked about in the Rage Game Network podcast, which probably is going to come out after this, that there is a leaked trailer online. I don't know if they took it down yet. I have not looked, but there was a leaked trailer online for the first trailer for this Fallout TV series. It was very grindy, and I couldn't see a ton of things, but from what I could tell, I mean, it looks like they got a good premise. It looks like it's a good understanding. A lot of the factions are in this game. I don't know if it's going to get tied into the world of the video games or if it's going to be a separate. I kind of like what they did with Halo. They didn't tie it into the video game world. So I would keep the other media live action separate in its own universe. So this will be kind of nice. We don't know many details. So hopefully we get to see the official trailer and we can talk about that here on Pretty Boy Podcast or on Rage Game Network Podcast. But not too much that we know about. For somebody who don't know this, Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy is going to be part of this. I think they're executive producers. Todd Howard from Bethesda Studios, he's going to be involved in producing. And then really, there's only, I think, two people that we know that are in this show. Wallen Goggins from Justified and Ella Purnell. Are going to be part of the show. We know that for a fact. So they're going to, they just started filming the series back in July 2022. Now I know the whole writer strike and actor strike happened, so I don't know if there's going to be any delays. But yeah, this is a good news to hear that they have at least a date and that potentially they might have a trailers fairly shortly here to see the world of gaming. So for Fallout. All right, let's go ahead and move on from our mini topics. And we're going to go to main topic number one. Main topic number one, I think was an interesting just general conversation to have that I pulled from an article from, I think, Georgia Tech, was it? Yeah, Georgia Tech. Some of their news that they had. And they talk about here the importance of inclusive gaming. You're probably asking, Pretty Boy, why are we talking about inclusive gaming? Is this like some new thing that's going on in the world of gaming? Well, it seems like it is, at least, or maybe it's been around and we really haven't thought about it. And COVID-19 kind of made us think about this. So there was a study that had been done about people talk about how they identify and shared with others, you know, interacting with other people. Much of that came through storytelling is what they liked, they said, right? So I'll read part of this article here. The individual here in the article, Lee Hilbert, who's a fellow for Georgia Tech in the School of Literature, Media, and Communication, stated that humans love to share stories because it's how we relate to each other and find common ground. In video games, role-playing, and tabletop games such as D&D, storytelling comes to life in an interactive way that movies, TV shows, and books just don't match that. And I agree with him on this. Gaming in general, I think the culture of gaming, especially role-playing and tabletop, is so immersive and inclusive in gaming because now you start thinking about, right, the way I look at the world, the way that, you know, someone else playing, like Andy or Connor or Sarah, when we play D&D, we have different ways of how we feel about the world, what it looks like. You know, when we play Curse of Strahd, you know, the way that Ben kind of explained the world to us, to me, I felt like was just based off my senses and everything I've known in the world today and movies and everything. Like, I get the sense that when we were in Barovia and walking around, that the world almost felt kind of gray It was always foggy. You know, you couldn't really see much more than maybe half a mile at most in front of us, right? There wasn't really a lot of openings, right? Until you get up top, right? In the mountains, I know at one point I kind of sensed that maybe like there was a little bit there, but there's a mountain, right? And I can't go over it. So again, in different ways, how things, buildings look very run down, wooden kind of sculptures. You know, it felt kind of medieval because of the castle and everything. So I had my interactive gaming visions, right? Which could be different, right? I don't know what Andy and Sarah and all of them saw, and they could probably tell me at some point or somewhere on the podcast, but, you know, maybe they saw something different. Maybe it was like a fairy tale to them, right? Or maybe they thought of the modern world. I don't know, right? I don't know how they are, but that's the whole point here is that you can actually find some common ground. You can relate to the characters, and you can have this vision of what you think the world looks like. And it's your own personality. We'll continue the quote here. Games are such a huge marker of identity formation, especially for young people, because they give you the chance to pick up and play with things and try things out for fun, right? It lowers the stake opportunities for experimental with yourself and with other people. It's a very cool way to learn about yourself. Gaming is definitely one thing that you get to learn something different about yourself. And especially tabletop gaming, D&D, even role-playing gaming, you get to kind of play someone that you're not. You know, I tend to be in real life, you know, if we compare ourselves to D&D alignments, you know, lawful good. But like this last campaign, I played a little bit on the neutral side. I played someone who will do good intentions. They kind of have a code that they stay with, but sometimes they don't. And there's things that, and we were kidding about this when we were doing an epilogue for Curse of Strahd, which we'll talk about that more on Rage Game Network podcast, if you follow us. You know, I talked about some things that happened in between the campaigns. And I said, yeah, that's what he does, you know, when he's not, you know, tied up in this adventure. And everyone's like, dude, what is wrong with your character? That he just does that? And I'm like, yeah, he doesn't care. He just, you know, he's used to this life, so he would do something like that. It was really cool to you know, play do with different alignments, different characters, and how they would interact. So I agree with this. But it gets into a study they did with, especially with COVID-19 that hit, the pandemic, right? Games exploded at that point in time. So a couple things they said is, online search for D&D actually increased by 85% since 2020. 85%. That is a lot. A lot of people were looking at D&D to play games. Crazy. It says, beyond playing the games themselves, fans spend millions of hours a year on Twitch and YouTube watching players' adventures in these fantasy worlds. You know, the rising interest and a growing gamer base spurs a lot of discussions about the importance of inclusion in spaces. So, and it gets it farther. If you want to read the article, it's going to be in the show notes below. But a lot of what we're talking about here about that inclusive gaming, getting people involved, being able to express themselves, that's really important, you know, and that's something where I challenge you guys as Ragers here on Pretty Boy Podcast and Rage Game Network Podcast to think about what something you would want to do in gaming. Maybe something a little different. Maybe you're a video gamer. You play video games. You play on your Xbox. You play on your PC. You play on your PlayStation. You play on your Nintendo. Right? That's who you are. I was for the longest time a Sony guy. Okay? Then I got into PC. And then obviously I played D&D and role-playing and tabletop games. Every once in a while. But the whole point here is try something a little different. You know, maybe you always play the good guy. Play the bad guy for once, right? Maybe you always play the wizard. Play an orc next time, right? Change it up a little bit. Change your mindset and try something a little different, right? Or as simple as maybe, you know what? Still playing video games. Let me see if I can play with my friends tabletop or a role play game. See if we enjoy that, You know, and that's what this article really brings out, that this is such an important piece of the puzzle, and that you really want to be able to include others. All right, I think we've talked a lot about importance of inclusive gaming, but what we're going to do now, we are going to go to our second topic for today. And our second topic for today is about the PlayStation 5 updates and the added features that came out. So I have this article here from Game Rant again, that talks a little bit about an update that came through, I want to say, late October, right before Halloween. So a couple weeks ago at this point in time. And just kind of go over some of the things that PlayStation 5 consoles got actually just recently. So a couple things real quick here. A couple updates that happened that can be downloaded. This is going to be version 23.02-08.20.00. So now on your PS5, if you do the proper updates, music is in the control center and is now easier to access. I guess they were having some problems and issues in the past. So you want to think about that. And it's with its two-column layout, so it's easier to navigate. You can find things by various categories, playlists, and songs. And I think it's a good idea. You know, I used to play Spotify on my PlayStation 4 before I moved to PC and everything, and it was just nice to have something to relax around the house. And just accessing that was really nice. So I'm glad to hear that they're doing that with the PS5. You can avoid unintentionally broadcasting your surroundings while broadcasting games with your PlayStation VR 2. I thought I heard there were some issues with that, so that's great that they fixed that issue. You would have to go to Settings, Accessories, PlayStation VR 2, and then turn on the Block See-Through View on TV to prevent the camera see-through image from displaying on your TV while you're using your PS VR 2. Wow. Okay, so I guess they fixed that. if you want to say what's new, you can actually do that through a voice command on any screen now through this PS5 feature. So they'll give you an update. What is new? What is going on? Currently, voice command, which has been previewed, is only available for English players and is only available for US and UK consoles. So any other language or any other countries, right now you don't have access to that, but you'll get that very shortly. And then they've also improved, there were some issues with improving the messaging and the instability on some screens. So it looks like these are just kind of good updates for the PS5, some issues that they've been having that they want to address, which is fair. You know, these are great things to keep the console going, especially because now it seems like everyone's switching to PS5s. I'm one of the only ones left with a PS4. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'll get a PS5. I don't know. I like my PC, so I don't know. I'll have to think about this one. This is a tough one. All right, guys. I think this is a good point in time to take a break. I know we talked a lot about in the beginning about me moving to Florida and a little bit of the campaigns and some good tips on keeping yourself safe if you're playing Pokemon Go. So, give me a little bit, and we will be right back. Welcome, Ragers, back to the Pretty White Podcast. Let's get going here. We're going to go to topic number three today. And topic number three today is an article that comes to us from Dicebreaker. Where you can get a lot of board game news, actually, guys. If you're really interested in that, I've enjoyed taking a look at Dicebreaker for stuff. Really, I've had a lot of problems. This is a little bit of an older news, but I wanted to bring it to the forefront to let everyone know. The Pokemon World Championships were just hosted the past year in Japan. And we just got an announcement a couple months ago about where they're going to be held in 2024. And in the article that's down and below, it's been mentioned that since 2019, the Pokemon World Championships will be held in That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The United States of America. So the 2024 championship, it was announced, will be hosted in Honolulu, Hawaii for 2024. They're going to keep a lot of the formats for the Pokemon World Championship, like juniors, seniors, masters, division tournaments, obviously video game, Pokemon Go, and Pokemon Unite categories, divisions and all that. So they're going to keep that. That's a really good thing. From what me and the other guys were listening to for 2023, it sounds like it's a good format. It works well that they should keep that. So very good job to Niantic and Pokemon for doing what they're supposed to be doing. This will be the third time, just so you guys know, that the United States will be hosting the Pokemon World Championships. If you're curious about the last couple, from what I got here, it looks like Waluigi Village in 2010 and 2012 did host the championships in the States. And then the first North American Championship, this will be since it was last held in Washington, D.C. in 2019. So it looks like, yeah, there's a good reason to go to Hawaii this year in 2024 and to go see the Pokemon World Championships. Or if you're a huge fan of Pokemon and you can win regionals and all that, I highly recommend start working on your decks now, guys, for tournament play. And hopefully you can potentially get to our 2024 championship here in the United States. So, yeah, it sounds really good. I know Ben's probably would be very excited to hear that news. But he's probably working on his Pokemon deck and trying to figure out how he's going to get there. So, yeah, this is good. Yeah, so much fun there. All right, so our last topic for tonight, or I should say today, is going to be Dungeons & Dragons, D&D. They have delayed the Deck of Many Things release. This came across not too long ago, and I was kind of shocked that they were doing this. But I guess they are delaying the Deck of Many Things release. They've been apologizing to everyone who pre-ordered the physical deck cards for this fantasy RPG. So what you're probably asking, Pretty Boy here, what's going on? Why is this happening, right? So D&D makers, obviously Wizards of the Coast, will not be shipping the Deck of Many Things on its original origin date, which I do not recall. I want to say was the end 2023, sometime in December, if I recall. What they were able to announce when they apologized on October 27th is that the physical version, which cost $99, will not be in retail or to those who pre-ordered it by November 14th. Moving forward, basically what they found out is that the product that had been made for these cards did not meet the manufacturing standards that they expected. So unfortunately, they have to delay the release of the physical products for both the Wizards as well as retail partners. So it looks like they're having some problems. They didn't have the right print and what they wanted to do, which, you know, that happens. It's a possibility for that to happen, especially when you're making physical copies of things. You know my rant. I'd rather you delay it, get the thing right, than rush it and, you know, it goes horrible. So I'm glad that Wizards of the Coast and D&D understand the player base. They understand that, you know what, they spent a lot of money. Let's get them that content. Let's get them the right way. Let's not have problems with this. So if you pre-ordered the Deck of Many Things, obviously, like you said, you're not going to get it this year. It's going to be 2024. Please be patient. I get it. It's not fun to have to wait for something. But, you know, this is a great opportunity for them to correct that and get you the properties that you need the right way. If you did not know, the Deck of Many Things was introduced back in the 1970s when D&D started. You don't ever want to play with a deck of many things. We've had a couple campaigns where we got close to something looking like it was a deck of many things. I believe Andy had an encounter in one session with someone pulled the deck of many things, or I don't recall exactly. I do remember him saying something about that. So, yes, there have been people who have done that. Usually doesn't go well. It's usually a game breaker when that happens. So you definitely want to be very careful about that. But yeah, no, that's just so you guys know that is what's going to happen. I apologize, but that's unfortunately how it's going to go. So just keep an eye out for that. It's going to be a little bit, so bear with us while that happens. And yeah, hopefully they correct everything and can get it out as soon as possible. Well, that's going to do it for topics for today for the Pretty White Podcast. But what we're going to do before we leave you guys here, obviously, we're going to go to Pretty Boy's Game of the Week. And for this Game of the Week, I picked, drumroll please. This was for Halloween, so I apologize, but Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 4. Been out for a long time. It actually is a really good game. I haven't played the game personally, but the reviews and everything I've heard of has been fantastic. So, let me get you a little bit of a article. Let me read you what the synopsis of the game is here, and then we'll go through the different things, get you a couple reviews, and then we'll get going here. So, Resident Evil 4 is a game. It's a survival game, horror game, and this is what it reads for their synopsis. Survival is just the beginning. 6 years have passed since the biological disaster in Raccoon City. Leon Kennedy, one of the survivors, tracks the president's kidnapped daughter to a secluded European village where there is something terribly wrong with the locals. And boy gosh, is there. Lots of zombies, lots of problems going on in this village. I remember when this came out originally, it looks fantastic for a game. I do remember overall it was really good when it came out and still holds up to this day. And what I can tell you, overall the reviews for this game, overwhelmingly positive. There's about, when I checked it, just over 3,000 reviews that came in. There's about 64,000 reviews. So this, I think they had released it not too long before Halloween. It's looks amazing. Looks great. I can't even tell you that it's horrible. It's good. On Steam, it released on March 23rd, 2023. Developer and publisher for the game obviously is Capcom. And the price of the game right now is $59.99. A little bit expensive, obviously, but there was a sale at the time. There is not now. You can get the deluxe edition with some DLC packs for $69.99. And if you're curious about the game, maybe you don't want to buy it yet, but you want to kind of explore a little bit, there is a downloadable Resident Evil 4 Chainsaw demo. So if you're interested, you want to look at it before you buy it, highly recommend on your PC to download it. It is a single-player game. Like I said, looks fantastic. Just looking at these, the gameplay, the gun shooting, the stabbing of the knife here by Leo. The villains on the game are fantastic. The zombies look great. The character models for all the NPCs look beautiful. It looks scary. It looks horrifying, and I love it. Every moment of it. So let's go down to the reviews real quick. What we have here is Nero of Demon says, good game. He played about 11.6 hours. Prince Percival played about 8 hours of the game, says, it's a good game. But the 30-minute cutscene of Leon and the merchant making out was a little confusing. Not sure how this fits into the lore. Solid 9 out of 10. Die For Me recommends the game. played about 102 hours. This is a little bit longer one, but I'll read it. Finished on hardcore. Also, I used this game as a heater because my air conditioning died. So for 70 hour games, just warmed up my room. I have conflicting feelings about this game. If you play the original or Dead Space or Awaken Alan, etc., back in the day, I think you should notice how little has changed since then. Even people who do not like remakes or just prefer OGs, vice versa, will probably agree with the despite all the changes, this game remains the same at its core. Yes, I understand that a remake is supposed to attract new audiences, but this still means that people enjoying playing an almost 20-year-old game with new graphics, same levels, same enemies, same guns, almost same story. Yes, we got an aiming spread. Don't like it. For changes in cutscenes. So I guess talking about this, overall really good. It looks like they added or did some different cutscenes, so... you know, and that's the thing, you know, when you get a remake, you know, they're going to change it up a little bit. I believe it came out on the GameCube when it came out originally. I do remember seeing that. So, really fantastic game. Everything I'm reading, good, 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 brilliant. I didn't really want to remake a Resident Evil 4 here, says C-Dub, played about 30 hours. I actually rather see Capcom remake the first original Zero or some of the other ones. But I can't deny this is a quality remake and one of the greatest games of all time. So definitely from what I keep reading here and looking at different reviews, overall, they love it. And I hope you love it. And if you have played this game, Resident Evil 4 on PC, or any of the remakes of Resident Evil 4, please feel free to go to our social media pages for Rage Game Network and drop a comment and let us know what you think about this game. All right, guys, I think we're at a point here where we can kind of take a break for today and head on out. If you're interested in any games that I've been playing as Pretty Boy Chris, down in the show notes, you can see the different games that I've been playing and what console or PC I've been playing on. If there's any of them that you do want to play with me, I believe my gamer tags are down below in the section for Pretty Boy. Check that out. Also, if you want to find Rage Game Network and Rage Game Network Podcast, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Discord, and YouTube, along with many other platforms where you can find your podcast that you are streaming. And tell a friend, tell someone about this wonderful podcast that we have here at Rage Game Network Podcast and Pretty Boy Podcast. So start spreading it to your friends. Let them know what's going on. Show them the social medias. We do interact a lot on social media. Interact with us, ladies and gentlemen. We are just gamers like yourselves and having a blast being able to tell wonderful stories about what's going on. So I do have the Facebook, the Instagram, Discord, YouTube down there. We do have a website, ladies and gentlemen. Head on over to www.ragegamenetwork.com. That's www.ragegamenetwork.com. If you are interested in getting a t-shirt, a coffee mug, a backpack, you can do it there. If you want to see what other platforms that we have for podcasting, we have all of them listed there. You can click on the link and it'll take you wherever you need to go. If you want to email the crew here for Rage Game Network, I highly recommend if you got a question or something you want to talk to us about, send an email to ragers@ragegamenetwork.com. Again, that's ragers@ragegamenetwork.com. If you want to find myself, Pretty Boy Chris, you can find me on Facebook, Discord, Twitch, and YouTube. I have it all down below. I do play on PlayStation 4 and PC. So if you are interested, I have down below my game tags for those. That's how you can find me. You want to play with me, you let me know. Especially just because I'm moving, it doesn't mean I'm not going to be playing games. So I will definitely play with you. Just give me a heads up, let me know, and we can arrange for that. If you want to reach out to myself about something, in particular for Pretty Boy Podcast, you can email me down below, blah blah 0267@gmail.com. Again, That is blahblah0267@gmail.com. And ladies and gentlemen, if you find any good gaming content that you want to share with the group, or you want to mention us because we're doing such a great job in any other platforms, please use that app button, add Raid Game Network, so we can be connected with that comment. And also add some hashtags on there that help spread the word, spread the news to us. Some of the ones I've got down below are hashtag Raging Out, hashtag Ragers, hashtag Rage Game Network, hashtag RGN, and then obviously if you want to reach out to me, hashtag Pretty Boy Chris. Those are some great ways to get us involved, let us know what's going on, what you've been finding, and keep the community active and going with us. Well, guys, I got to finish packing and getting ready to move here shortly. So I just want to thank you guys for taking the time to sit down and listen to Pretty Boy Podcast and Rage Game Network Podcast. I know it's going to be a crazy week. There's a lot still going on for me. I know Rage Game is excited about the move, but they understand that I can't stay up in upstate New York any longer. So very excited to see the next chapter, to see what's going to happen next for me, for Rage Game Network, and for Pretty Boy Podcast, and just my personal and professional life. So with that being said, I think I'm going to sign out today, guys, and continue doing what I have to do. But thank you for listening to the Pretty Boy Podcast, and I hope you come back next time. All right, everyone, hashtag Raging Out.